Cactus Radio, FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
Devil May Care. That is Joe Saunders from his new album. I love that, Joe.
Oh, nice. That's
that
a good
sounds
start.
Like that sounds like you know what you're doing there with that guitar.
Nearly, yeah.
You're making it talk.
We're getting there after nearly 13 years of doing it.
No, that sounds fantastic. And that's from a new album.
Yes.
What's the name of the album?
Notions of Verity, which is a very over-the-top way of saying it's about the truth and reality, basically.
Okay. Can you just move a little bit closer to the microphone there? Just, it won't bite. And I know that you didn't want to come in here anyway. I had to fight the gig. I won't read out the transcript of the transcript of what actually happened with you coming in, and I'm sure you've got better people than me who want to come in. The effort that I had to put in to get you to come in after all this time.
It's not conducive to promotion of music, is it, really, if we're being honest?
No, it's not. That's what dragged you in. You've got an album, let's shout about it.
Well, I thought I'll come in and then he probably won't ask me for another 6 or 7 years, so it'll be all right.
Don't you blame me on COVID. You didn't come in because of that. We were just talking about this. You don't get out often these days, do you?
No, but it wasn't... The 2020 side of it wasn't a massive surprise to me because I was already used to doing 95% of shopping online anyway and stuff like that. So I was kind of used to being in the home studio on my own a lot already.
Yeah. So you found lockdown pretty easy then?
Yeah, the 2020 side was all right. It started to get a bit much, 21 and 2. It was a bit kind of, okay, this is still going.
I know that you've, the band that you're in, Blackfoot Daisy, you had to cancel a couple of gigs. And that's the way it's been for the last couple of years. Certain times have been hit and miss. But I'm guessing it's getting back to some kind of normality now, isn't it?
We're getting there now. It does still feel a little bit strange. I think there's still some... You can feel some concern, I think, in the atmosphere still, which I totally get.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there with no concern whatsoever, which is quite worrying. But I'd like to be somewhere in the middle, not overly concerned, but aware. I think it's probably the best place to be.
Yeah.
Tell me about this album. How long have you been working on it?
It's about 2.5 years, I reckon, which sounds a bit much when you see it's 45 minutes at the end, you know, when you look at it.
Yeah.
But... I found I do have to spend a lot more time on them because I've kind of given myself a problem where I've released so much stuff. You have to wait longer to find the good stuff because technically I've used up like over 100 of my ideas, so you have to wait longer for them, you know. So as long as I'm patient, I can keep the standards up, you know. Whereas when I was first doing them, I could do them every year. But, I have to be a bit more cautious about it now. And I have to keep checking if I've used anything. You know, I have to flick through my own stuff to go, have you used that before?
Right, okay. So how many songs have you recorded then over the years? There's quite a few, isn't it?
Album track-wise, it's over 100. It's something like 110. And then there's some YouTube bonus tracks as well.
I love this track we just played. It leapt out. Great guitar on it. So I'm just picturing you live. Because that sounds like a track you can do live and sound awesome. I don't know, the last time I spoke to you, you didn't want to do any singing, you didn't want to do anything live. So is there are we going to get to see you sing the new, or not sing, do the new album live somewhere?
I don't know. I mean...
That's a no then, isn't it?
It's a tricky one because it's generally where I'm a small... musician, generally the gigs come from covers bands,
right,
you know, so maybe. I mean, we used to do it ages ago, years ago, like the first two albums and stuff, and it's quite an undertaking. For you feel quite exhausted at the end, but and then as we moved into covers stuff, initially the original covers band, we were putting a few in, and obviously with the covers bands I've been in the last few years, doesn't really fit if we're being honest.
Do you know, I'd love to see you somewhere where you just do the album. You could just go down and do the album and just play it. And because I think it would be fantastic. For you as well, because I think you're a non-believer.
I mean, thanks. I mean, the only advantage to it is where I know that, generally speaking, it's not done live anymore since about the third album or whatever it was, is I can get quite over-ambitious in a good way where I'm not worried when I'm tracking at home. Like, is this going to be really convoluted to do live, because the chances are it's not going to be, so I can kind of go a bit nuts at home.
Okay. And then can't you go a bit nuts somewhere else, you know, when you're doing a gig?
Yeah, but I mean, you can kind of technically do stuff that's almost impossible to reproduce if you want to get like that. A lot of my stuff isn't. You could still go out and do it with a lot of practice.
Now, we're going to bring in your dad now, because I think... would you like to see him out there playing this album live somewhere?
Yeah, I remember when he did sing stuff, you know. Well, he had people in the band that sang, but he was in a band that was basically his band, and he used to have covers, and in between they'd have one of his pieces of instrumental music, and because they mixed it like that, it went down really well.
Do you know what? I haven't introduced you yet, but I'm just thinking I could close my eyes and listen to you, and I could fool the listeners now. I could say, Jim Broadbent's just joined us.
Oh, dear.
That's who you sound like. You sound like Jim Broadbent. You do. But it's not. It's Brian.
No, it's not.
It's Father Brian.
Yeah.
Would you, if you could pick a venue for him to play at the island, where would it be?
I don't know. I mean, he did the Winter Gardens before they did it up. It was still falling apart at the time. And the trouble with, to say, instrumentals is one of the girls in the audience said, you know what you need? You need a singer. I said, No, he's an instrumental artist. He doesn't need a singer. That's the whole point. But, yeah, he was popular, you know. But then, of course, covers sort of, as Joe said, covers are the main thing that people want to hear. But, well, within reason, you know, some people think you shouldn't do Hendrix because you're never going to emulate him.
No, that's...
things like that. But you know.
We still did Hendrix.
But you got your own style, and it sounds fantastic. And I know one of our presenters, Ron Leloup, is a big fan of yours.
Oh, no.
Loves your music. Yeah. So, you know, and that last track, it really grabbed me. I was listening to it and thinking, don't keep talking over it, Joe, because it's, you know, sing some songs, sing some lyrics over it. That would sound, but it sounded awesome.
Nice.
I was trying to think of what it reminded me of. It sounded a bit Guns N' Roses-y.
Oh, okay, there we go.
There was a bit of rock in there.
There was.
And should we play another track and we'll come back and we'll chat some more? We'll chat to your dad as well, because, you know, he wants to come in and plug his show as well.
Yep.
You know, but we'll do that in a while. So we've got Better Times Ahead. Is this, you said this is a ballad?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Hopefully you think it is when you play it anyway.
Right, anything else you want to add?
No, it's all right, go for it.
Okay, so this is Better Times Ahead, and he'll have more to say about it after we played the song. There we are, that's some new stuff from Santana. It is like listening to Santana.
Okay.
Is that a compliment?
Yeah, I think it's one of the best ones.
Again, yeah. It sounds fabulous. Really, really stands out. Love it. And that was Better Times Ahead, taken from the new album, which is available now?
It is, streaming pretty much everywhere, hopefully.
So where is everywhere? Apple Music, yeah. Amazon, and so on. And, sorry, what was the name of the album again?
Notions of Verity.
Notions of Verity.
Which was a tricky album title to get, because obviously a lot of album titles have been used, and it's tricky to find something that seems like it means something that someone else hasn't snapped up already.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, it takes a while to get the titles. You have to do a lot of Google searching to make sure you're not stepping on somebody's property.
Oh, you're always worried about everyone else, aren't you?
Yeah, I know.
I think you just got to step on a few toes, Joe. Stepping on a Few Toes sounds like a great name for an album.
Well, there you go. I'll credit you if I use it.
Yeah, well, you won't, will you? I know you won't. I can hear the tone in your voice. You're not going to use that idea. You at home, you do all of this. You write, produce, so you're producing everything at home.
The only thing I don't do is play drums, as you can probably imagine. So I get people who can do that to deal with that for me. So.
Okay. What's it like nowadays playing music in... Because you go back 20, 30 years, there probably wasn't a massive amount of places where you could go and do. But because the technology's changed and there's a lot more studios and so on, I bet your studio is like state-of-the-art, isn't it?
No, it's a lot more... I don't want to say basic because it's a bit... It's not. But, you know, it's not expensive. It's just what it needs to be, you know. And it doesn't take up a lot of room, which is nice. And
so, should we name a few drummers that come over and help out then on your tracks?
Well, they're like session musician people from different companies, usually in America.
Right.
You know, so places like, I used to use one called Beta Monkey. They come up with all kinds of strange names for these things. And yeah, no, there's all sorts knocking around. Like I said, they usually happen to be American. And it's just a really handy way of having not control, but you know, you don't have to well, I'm trying to explain this in the best way possible, really. It's I have had people sort of ask, but you know, it's, you need the sort of expertise they've got, you know, with the they're using thousands of pounds worth of microphones and session people and stuff. And there's me trying to stick the rest of it together in my house, you know.
Which, in your house.
Which wouldn't have been... You can't even really at home, you can't even use microphones, you know. It has to be direct and stuff. And you were saying about 20, 30 years ago, I wouldn't be able to do any of this because I would have had to have been... Even 20 years ago, I would have had to have been picked up by a label, you know.
Yeah.
And if I'd tried to do this where... You would have had to have gone to a big studio. I would have bankrupted myself after one album, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why people have built their own studios and so on, because of the expense. And you read the stories, don't you, where people go in, they've got X amount of studio time booked, it costs lots of money. Let's come out of the studio for a bit, take you out of your comfort zone. Now, the last time I went out, I saw you at an event in Ventnor,
right,
which is the best part of 3 years ago. Yeah. So what's it like when you're doing stuff at home? Are you in your comfort zone when you go out and do the live stuff? Do you dread it? Do you love it? What do you think about?
There's sort of stage fright to both, if that makes any sense. But I'm kind of more terrified of recording, even though I'm doing it at home, because it's the old red light syndrome, isn't it?
Right, yeah, I get that.
Which is, and you'd think it'd be easier by now that I've been putting these things out for nearly 13 years. It's not. And I wish it was easier, but it's because I keep expecting a little bit more out of myself each time. And I didn't notice that for a while, and I was like, why is this getting harder rather than easier? And then I realised that I'm pushing a few percent further each time. So the live stuff is kind of scary in a different way, but I like the fact you only have to play everything once. Whereas the problem with trying to make everything kind of perfect at home is you could be there for hours, you know, and I will. As Mum and Dad will quite happily tell you that I am.
So do you enjoy being live and, you know, having an audience?
I think live is a bit better, yeah. Like I say, the studio, you get a bit too wrapped up in... Because you know you're recording a definitive version that probably isn't ever going to be done again, you know. Whereas live, you're like, well, we'll just see how it goes today and then we'll do it again next time. And, you know... And I rehearse like hell for live stuff at home as well, even before we get to the rehearsals, because you know how brilliant my memory is. So there's a lot of repeating songs at home for covers bands going on.
So how many bands are you actually in at the moment?
One at the moment.
Just one?
Yeah.
Okay, and you are a solo artist as well. So
yeah.
This album has come out as a standalone. It's you, it's Joe Saunders, and father of Brian, son of Brian. So,
that would be weird.
We should bring him in a minute and get him to talk about what he does, because he does a show for us. And it's,
he does.
And you help produce that.
Yeah.
Okay. So come on, Brian, tell us about your show.
Well, I'm currently doing, for the last year or so, 60s Scene, which is by suggesting 60s music. And we're working at the moment on the next programme, which is going to be called BBMS.
BBMS.
I know. Terrifying, doesn't it?
This was terrible for jingles, I can assure you.
Am I just going to bleep something out now?
No.
BBMS.
No, Brian's brilliant music show.
Oh, right, okay. Brian's, that must have taken ages.
Very modest. No, I got it from the name of a station. One of the pirates is called Britain's Better Music Station, BBMS. So I liked the thing. And then I found, to my horror, that despite all the albums of jingles I've got, nothing fits anything like that. So I've actually done my own jingle, which Joe has then mixed to give it sound effects. So that's a first for...
Oh, wow. You couldn't have sent us that, could you? Because, I mean, that would have stood out, wouldn't it? I'm not saying your music does. No, I'm disappointed you didn't send us the jingle. So are we going to hear it on the next show?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So you love your 60s. Were you influenced by all the pirate radio stations?
Yeah, it was weird because a lot of people obviously get bored of me being so keen on all that stuff, but especially family and stuff. But the thing was that we went on a school trip to France in 1967 in March. My parents had decided to clear off and travel around the world and left me behind. So I was staying with some friends. And we went on this trip to France with the school. And one of the boys had a transistor radio with Caroline and London on it. And I'd never heard of it. I was still listening to Luxembourg like most people were, you know. And I said, oh, that's really interesting. And then I got hooked into it. And, of course, by August, it became illegal. Caroline carried on, but, you know, the whole thing became quite different. And, of course, later in 77 or wherever it was, I actually went and met Ronan O'Reilly and he offered me a job on there. But I actually turned it down in the end. And if you look at the history of the station, it was a good decision because I would have only lasted till about the October that year, and then they all ended up in Southend Magistrates Court. They got arrested, you know, taken off the ship and taken into things. So, I would have had a police record, I suppose, if I'd have carried on and done that.
Was it da-da-da-da, boom-boom?
No.
I didn't know that, or if you have told me, I didn't remember it.
No, no, no. I've written it all down because people never write things down they've done, and then they die and nobody's aware of any of it, are they? So I've been writing it all down.
What a great story. I know when I listen to the 60s stuff, I listen to the music and think, I wish I was around back then because the music was fantastic.
Me too.
But I'm trying to recreate it, but I will never succeed because when I started off doing that sort of thing, I was 13. So there's a lot of enthusiasm and excitement. You know, obviously I like the stuff. It's not that. It's just I can't, if I came across as excited, people would think I had an attack of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah, but it would have been exciting back then, wouldn't it?
It was.
What other stations have you worked for then?
South Downs Radio, which was land-based, so we won't say any more about that. Okay. And and Radio Atlantis, another land-based one.
Right.
I nearly did a demo tape for Two Counties Radio, which I think is all gone now. It's a different name, in Dorset in Hampshire. I still got the recording at home, but I never sent it in the end.
What a shame.
And the irony was that one of the commercials, I took it all from the station itself to make it look as if it was real. And one of the commercials was Saunders Carpets. And I think Brian Saunders Carpets. I thought, that's ironic. But I didn't use the name Brian Saunders when I did all those things. That was Mike West.
Hang on, how do we get to Mike West?
Because I was born and adopted within 13 months.
Right.
I was born Michael John Kilby, and I quite liked Michael. It didn't feature in my new name. I was given Brian William John Saunders. So I just thought, and I liked, there was a DJ called Alan West, so I thought Mike West. Yeah, I'll go with Mike West.
Yeah. I don't know how we got to West from Kilby, was it? And Saunders?
Yeah, I know. I've only started. Sleep. I've got my wife looking up my family history at the moment, and we've only got so far, but I've got tons of relatives from the original family.
Wow.
I mean, my mother was one of 11 children.
Good grief.
9 of which survived birth, two of them didn't. And she already had my half-sister Susan when she was 17. She had me when she was 19. And she kept Susan and got rid of me.
Do you know what? I'm on the set with Jim Broadbent. That's a film. What you just said then, that was a film. That's a wonderful film.
That's
as well.
I've been writing it all down just to sort of, because I remember it. I mean, that interview I did with Ronan O'Reilly in Chelsea in London, the irony was that the people who were against Caroline, if you like, legally, was the Home Office. Now, I worked for the Home Office in the prison department as a clerical officer, and they gave me a rail warrant to go off and get a telling off for not doing my work right. I was only young at the time, because I started work at 16 and I medically retired from the same place when I was 50. So I worked there all that time, right through. And I used the rail warrant to go and have my telling off, and then I went over to see Ronan. So the irony was that the prisoner actually paid, the Home Office paid for me to go and see this bloke. Yeah, because I didn't pay for the rail warrant, they did.
Oh, great. Yeah. I like that.
So I'm a bit of a revolutionary in some ways, but people think I'm boring now, but I used to be quite exciting.
Who says you're boring?
I tell you what, the rebellious side hasn't passed over to me, has it? I tell you that.
No. Mr. Safety.
Yeah. All right. Okay. That's brilliant. There's great stories there. I just picture... I mean, you see video clips and you see radio studios and how they used to be, you know, playing vinyl. You wouldn't have had time to go to the loo because, you know, the songs would have been shorter, the or jingles would have been on carts.
Yeah, if you did and the record stuck, that's it until you come back, isn't it?
You put know. The whole of Thick as a Brick on, you'd be sorted, wouldn't you, then? 45 minutes for one... giant song.
Wow.
I do remember I've got a recording of Radio Caroline where Johnny Walker was saying to Andy Archer, he said, can you just try my presenter's seat out? He said, yeah, why? He said, well, I just got to see a man about a dog, and he went off to have a whatnot, you know. Left him keep the programme going.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Those times, they really, when you look back and how radio used to be.
Well, everything was new, really exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Music and the radio.
And Kenny Everett was another genius.
Oh, God, yeah. I do try and copy him to some extent, but not overly successfully, with the jingle side of it, because he used to make all his own stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, he was together. Incredibly talented.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you weren't, but...
No.
All right. Okay, so you've got another show that's in the offing. It's the 60s, and it's going to have...
No, this is the thing. BBMS covers all... It opens the option up to play anything from any decade.
Uh-oh.
So it's a general show, not just 60. 60 scene is still there.
Ian's thinking, should have consulted me first on this one.
No, I'm just thinking, what floats your boat, so to speak, now? What's around now that you think, yeah, I like that?
Oh, it's going to be embarrassing, but I do quite like Wet Leg stuff.
Right, OK.
I mean, obviously,
you're very limited to what you can play with Wet Leg.
I know.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I looked at the album and I thought... Okay. Yeah. There's about six tracks that have all got bad language in. There's about
I know. That is a problem, isn't it?
I mean, the thing. When he puts modern stuff in the show, I have to sit there censoring it half the time.
You know you've got somebody, because I heard you say on the radio, what anybody knows, you know, this guy knows everything about new music, one of your DJs.
Kieran.
Yeah, and I said, thank God for that, because I tried to... No, I tried to do it. And I was recording all the new songs from the chart, watching MTV, fast-forwarding, you know, getting all the stuff. And then I'd put it together and my granddaughter would say, they don't call it that. You pronounce that all wrong. It's so complicated now, you know.
I've got an idea then. You should do a show with Kieran.
And pronounce all the names wrong. It'd be hilarious.
No, you should do a show. And every time there's like a spin-off. You could do a DJ spin-off or a, you know, and he'll play a new song, you play an old song that was new back in the day and sell it.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm trying to do by playing different decades is I'm trying to minimise what 60s music I use, because I'm doing that on the other programme, 60s Scene.
Yeah.
So it's going to be 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever, but not brand new as such, unless I spot something that I like. You know, but apart from that, it's opened it up, because I've had to get all these CDs out and go through them and see what I could play, you know.
Well, you must have a load of CDs, haven't you?
780 last time I counted.
Good grief.
But I'm just streaming now, it's easier.
when Joe, you know, when I was doing that almost new, nearly up-to-date programme, that I called it, the problem was that I got these tracks, I then went to Joe, and then he had to go through and censor them all.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember you even censored Honky Tonk Women.
Yeah.
Hang on. Really?
Yeah. I know. What a shocker, eh?
What have I got to bleep out of our version, then?
I know. Going upstairs for a...
Oh, really?
And I made it worse. Oh, you'd be amazed. My way of censorship is to put a boing in, so it made it even worse.
No, do you know what? I think that sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
Go upstairs for a boing.
Yeah,
the boing draws attention to the fact you've just bleeped something. It's a trouble.
Technically, you're going by the law by taking it out, so it's fine.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that one. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Right. And also, what's it? Give Peace a Chance. There's stuff in there I didn't even realise.
Oh, really?
I listened to it recently. I thought, oh, God, I didn't know that.
I might have to recheck our play out system.
Yeah. I have to look at when he's doing modern stuff. I'm so worried about it now. I actually look up the lyric sheets.
He does.
It takes ages.
The research is incredible. Then we have to look up drug references because we don't know what the hell they're talking about, but
Is this why you're an instrumentalist? Yeah. You don't have that problem.
Oh yeah, no, you're fine with me. You're never going to have to censor anything exactly. I do.
Hey, look, we've run out of time, gentlemen, but thank you so much for coming in. I'm going to play out with a song. Now, look, I'm a bit worried because you said you want to play Mood Swing, but you didn't want to weird anybody out. So
it is a bit weird.
I want you to pick the best track that will sell the album because I want people to know exactly what you are all about and what this album is all about.
I think that one will do it, actually.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You don't want to be put the others on the screen just to see if...
No, it's fine.
No, you're all right with Mood Swing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we'll be fine.
So tell us about Mood Swing.
It's kind of what it suggests, you know, and it goes with the theme of the album that I didn't notice until halfway through, because normally I don't deal with reality, I sort of do fiction for fun. And I noticed when I had about 5 songs ready, I thought, oh, everything seems to be about real life here, which is weird for me. So I used it as a theme for the rest of it going on. And I was sort of looking at it going, okay, everybody needs to ponder on, you know, everybody. Well, some people have mood swings. I thought, this is weird. This is all quite real stuff. So that was the kind of idea of the whole album, really, was reality. And try not to run out of drums that we were saying off air. So
this is Mood Swing, taken from the album. You can download the whole album. How much does it cost nowadays for an album download?
It's about, well, I shouldn't say this. I would stream it because then it's no risk for people, isn't it? But, it's about $8.99, $9.99, depending on where you're going.
Because it used to get our records from Happy Days.
Yeah.
And it used to be like for an album back in the day, it'd be about £3.99. And a single would be about 78 pence. Where did you used to get your records from?
Happy Days.
Happy Days.
I used to write the chart out from BBC Chart, take it down to him so it was up to date.
Wow. That would have been John Wheeler?
Yeah.
Wow. So you must have, because they were only open in the 70s, weren't they? So where did you get your records before Happy Days popped up?
Teagues. Yeah, and there was another shop that always used to give me... they didn't give discount, but you could always get stuff. I mean, the thing with Happy Days was he'd go up and find it from a store, you know. He'd go a day off every week and get all these orders.
Oh, it's the best shop in town, it was.
H&B were very expensive for their stuff.
But the Happy Days was such a wonderful time, and I think we were so blessed and so lucky to have. And when you mentioned Teagues, I also remember you used to be it's an estate agent now, and a big shop opposite the pub Calvert's, opposite the town hall.
Yeah,
that's where it used to be. In there,
I used to give them post-dated checks because I was so hard up trying to buy records.
Wow. Hey, look, thank you, gentlemen. Yeah. And we're going to play Mood Swing. And, you know, go and download this album because it is. It's or in your case, stream it because it's cheaper. We're free. and you don't mind that. You've had permission from the artist to go and stream it.
I've just done that to myself, haven't I?
sort of, yeah. So this is Mood Swing. Thank you for coming in. It's a 1:45.